What happens now?
What happens now?
How will I cope?
How will I cope? Sometimes you don't want to talk about cancer to people you know. You just want to talk to someone who knows how you feel. That's why I joined the Macmillan Online community. We know what it's like because we're living with cancer too. And whatever's on your mind, we're here to help. To join us, search Macmillan Online community.
Prince Harry spent his life living in the shadow of his mother's tragic death. But when he falls in love, he realizes it's up to him to stop history from repeating itself. In our new series, Prince Harry, Windsor of Change, we'll tell you how a prince without direction became a duke who found a family.
Listen to Even the Rich on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ben. Joining me is Ronnie Karam. And this is part two of our Real Housewives of Salt Lake City recap. If you're just tuning in now and you're like, where's part one? It's earlier in the feed. So go check it out on the feed. And then let's just like dive right back into it. Here we go. We're going back right into the recap.
We cut over to where Meredith, Angie, and Heather are talking, and they look like they're having fun. I mean, I guess for a roller skating party. And then Meredith just goes, excuse me, I gotta go. And they're like, okay. And she just gets up and leaves.
I have decided this place is not safe for toddlers, so I'm gonna have to go. Bye, bye, bye.
I've made it 5 minutes. I can no longer take you. Goodbye. So she leaves.
I can leave.
Lisa passes by Heather and Angie on the way to the bar, and Lisa's like, oh my God, I'm actually going to get a Coke, a Diet Coke, a Diet Coke. And Heather's like, Lisa didn't even come over here. I mean, are you guys good right now, Monica? And Monica says,
literally, ever since I said she was materialistic, all she does is drink Diet Cokes. All she does is pass me and drink Diet Cokes.
Oh, yeah. And Heather's like, oh, so she's ignored you? Like, how much have you talked about your relationship with your mom to Lisa? And Monica's like, I don't talk to Lisa at all. By the way, I love that when Monica's like, no, ever since I called her materialistic, she like hasn't really been so nice to me. It's like, I love like ever since you insulted someone, they have not been as warm to you as they used to be. Isn't that funny how that happens?
Right. So then Heather's like, well, if you haven't talked to her about it, then how does she know anything about your relationship with your mom? Which is so messy because right. We see a clip of Whitney telling Heather all the stuff that Lisa said.
Right.
And so we know how, but it's so funny. So Monica's like, I have no idea. Why? And Heather's like, because Whitney said that Lisa said that your relationship with your mom is embellished and you're exaggerating it for attention. And Jack is going to Colombia.
So, yeah, we see this flashback of Whitney telling Heather everything. And then Monica's like, Lisa doesn't know anything about me, girl. And I feel like Lisa is obsessed with me. And, like, my name stays in her mouth, girl. Like, choke on it. Choke on it. I can't imagine being middle-aged and bitter. I'm like, well, you've got about 5 more years, so.
I was going to say, you'll find out soon enough.
You should be so lucky.
Nothing turns you more middle-aged and more bitter than being on a housewife show. It's like the ultimate. It's like using a dryer for your fruit instead of just leaving it out on a countertop. It just speeds the process. Watch your mouth, okay?
Watch your
also,
mouth.
this
watch your mouth.
Watch your mouth. Also, this drag queen appropriation is getting a little. Not like offensive. I'm not like, oh my God, I'm offended for gay culture. But everything she says, she like tries to turn into a mini drag queen. And it's just, I cringe. I'm cringing for you. Maybe up your vernacular for the next season. Because it's like, oh my God, my name is in her mouth.
Fuck off, Lisa. If your life is so perfect, like live and be happy. Like, why do you care about my relationship with my mom so much?
Because you're always talking about it, maybe. I don't know. I'm just going to put that out there.
You've made it every scene so far, and you invite your mom everywhere. So Monica's like, yeah, why do you care so much about my mother? And she tells us, I'm trying so hard to remember that this is a little girl's birthday party and not to say anything. I do not need to be that auntie that's like ready to turn up, but to keep my mouth shut, I'm like telling you, that could be an Olympic sport. So Lisa's like, hi, ooh, what's going on? And Heather's like, yeah, we were just talking about, okay, well, I thought you weren't going to talk to me today, so I was basically trying to start a war against you, but now you're here, I guess I'll confess. Whitney told me you think Monica's embellishing the issues with her mom, so I told Monica. And Lisa's like, wait, what?
It was a snarky comment, you know, like snarky, like, oh my God, like, I blame Monica, I blame the victim, just snarky like that. So she's like, you know, I was like, so then she goes up to Monica and she says, hey, I was excited to meet your mom and your girls at Easter. And I thought like that was like a disaster. And Monica's like, yeah, it was a disaster. Yeah. And I felt like she was trying to smooth things over.
My mom was very, very charming and very charismatic and very nice. And so was Ted Bundy. So my mom has two sides and she's very, very abusive. Like my kids don't want to be around her. And there's just a lot you don't know. Okay, Lisa?
And she goes, then why did you bring her to Easter then? Why did you bring her to Easter?
Because well, listen, we have like,
yeah.
You know, the Easter Bunny drops pellets all over the place. No one fucking likes him, but we still invite him. It's just what you do.
Yeah, we have a very like up and down relationship, girl. And like it's high highs, but also low lows.
And Lisa's like, yeah, well, I was just like wondering, like, if your mom helps you with your kids, like, if she's like present in your life, just
you want to ask them because they're here. They're here.
I was like, oh, God, please don't ruin another event for your kids. Please.
I know.
They've already had that first one. Let's just let them get through the roller skating party, please. So Lisa's like, no, I don't want to ask them. She goes,
obviously you don't believe a thing I say. Maybe you need to hear from a fucking 5-year-old.
And then we hear, tss. And she's like, yeah, my kids have definitely vocalized frustrations about their Vovo. And we see her eldest daughter saying, you know what? What Vovo is doing to us doesn't reflect on you as a mom. And she's thinking, thank you.
And Monica says that her kids can see that, like, Linda's a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And so then Lisa's like, listen, Monica, I don't want to have this, like, negative raising voice conversation. I'm telling you just the perception that I have. She's like, how am I raising my voice, Lisa? She's like, you are. You're raising your voice. She's like, is this a raised voice to you? And then Lisa turns to Heather and she's see, like, here's my perception of the situation. And then, like, the act of her turning to Heather sets Monica off.
And Monica's like, oh my God, there it is. Just like my mom. Did anybody catch that?
And Heather's just looking at her like, what the fuck? And Monica says when she went to dinner with her mom and the mom didn't like what she was saying, she literally turned to a plant. And we see a clip of that dinner of her mom turning and talking to a plant. And then we get a shot of the plant just being like, what'd I do?
I know. Linda even says, I'm going to talk to the plant. She goes, her labels don't hurt me anymore. I'm like, I thought that Monica was just exact. She was literally talking to the plant. She was talking to a plant.
If you're having a confrontation with someone and they keep trying to talk to you and multiple times people have to turn away from you to get a sentence out, you could be part of the problem.
It was an interesting fix. If that is the problem, that's an interesting fix. Talking to the plant. Yeah. So Heather's like, so if I'm getting this right, Lisa is now Linda. She goes, Lisa's now Linda, who's Monica's mom, and I'm the plant? I prefer to be compared to a plant than a serial killer. I'll take it, I guess.
Listen. You know what I'm not interested in is having these crazy erratic conversations. And then she stands and she's like, maybe you're more like your mom than you think you are, but maybe you're the exact same person. I'm not interested. I'm not interested, Monica. Because Monica's not backing down from Lisa, and Lisa is used to people backing down, and it is making Lisa crazy. And it's so funny. Monica can do it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm impressed. Monica could really make Lisa fly off the fucking handle. So Lisa goes and starts skating off.
And Monica's like, bye, 50-year-old wannabe. And so Lisa's like, Monica, you're going to age too. So then Lisa goes up to Angie, goes, She said I'm just like her mom after acquitting her to Ted Bundy. She's basically saying I'm Ted Bundy. Can you believe I'm Ted Bundy? I'm not a serial killer. And she's like,
yeah, like a wannabe. Yeah, like a 50-year-old wannabe me. Yeah, well, she wants to be me so she can have what I have. That's why she carries fake Chanel.
Wait, you have fake Chanel?
Yeah, good point.
So then we cut to Bobby going up to Whitney going, Mom, this is the best drink ever. It has peach, raspberry, coconut, and Dr. Pepper.
And Whitney goes, okay, slow down. And she goes, I'm 13. I can drink as much Dr. Pepper as I want.
Really. Give me the peach and the raspberry and the coconut and the pineapple and the maple syrup and the Dr. Pepper. Give it to me now. Give it to me now.
I'm 13. Don't fuck with me, Mama. Do whatever the fuck I want to. I'm a woman now.
Catherine Hardwick's
gonna. Just a big red and this Dr. Pepper.
We're gonna get a sequel to that movie, 13, just starring Bobby moving to Los Angeles, just drinking soda. It'd be a much different version. Like the entire movie's diagonal.
Okay, so now we have happy birthday to you, all of that good stuff, and they reveal the golf cart. And
by the way, how did they get that golf cart in onto that rink, and how did they do it in a way that Bobby didn't see? I would like to know the logistics behind this reveal.
I don't know. I'm still like, danger. I just see blood on the highway. You know, I'm like, I'm not celebrating this. Okay, so then we go to, also, would you be okay if you were like a crosswalk person at a school and some little girl showed up at a golf cart, in a golf cart to drop off the child? I would be pissed. I would call the principal.
That is.
I would call the police.
Guess what? I would get Shannon Bedore on the case because that sounds like something for CPS. I mean, you see a 13-year-old dropping off like the 6-year-old in the golf cart, and the 13-year-old's hopped up on Dr. Pepper and 5 different flavored syrups.
This is
dangerous.
Right.
Dangerous.
That's funny. So Lisa pulls Heather aside and she's like, let me tell you something real quick, Heather. I'm not excluding you. It's just that. And Heather's like, an announcement brunch? You had an announcement brunch? Yeah. Well, you know what? Look, Heather, because it's a fine balance because you're on your own journey and you're mitigating it. So I'm like, hey, Jack, you know, Jack's doing this thing that you're walking away from. So like, I didn't want to like prepay for the lunch and then you just walk away from an omelet. You know what I mean?
Well, there's a great divide that exists in Utah, okay? And when people leave the church, you're on one side of that divide.
It's not about that. It's not about that. Listen, I'm respectful of your journey, Heather. I'm happy for you. I'm happy. You're going to have so much fun in the outer darkness. You know, they have these, like, flashlights that have batteries that last a really long time now.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, the great divide has nothing to do with Mormonism. It's Diet Coke versus Diet Pepsi, and I'm a Diet Pepsi girl. So I really feel that divide between us.
Okay, well, then you're never invited again. Thank you for clarifying that conversation over.
So then Jack sort of like rolls over, like he's on the skates. He like literally rolls over to them. And then he's like, hey there, what's going on? And Heather's like, oh, congratulations, Jack, on your future commitment to your cult. So where will you be culting it up? And he's like, Bogota, Colombia.
Tell her where mommy's going shopping. Tell her, Jack. Tell her where mommy's going to get to go shopping.
Bogota, Colombia. And Heather's like, oh, well, congratulations. Yeah, Heather got to go to Cannes. She got to go to Cannes. She went to a whole city named after Cannes, but came out liking Diet Pepsi. What a slut. Am I right, everyone?
She won the Palme d'Or because good time, girl. Sorry, I can't resist. It's just a classic.
French Riviera. So Jack's like, really? Yeah, Saint-Tropez. She's like, Heather's like, yeah, I guess the church liked me a little bit more than you and your strapless dresses. So have fun with your son going off to Colombia. Someone messaged us and said that, I mean, I don't know if this is true whatsoever, but like the families that are in good standing with the Mormon church, their kids get to go to like fancy places like Saint-Tropez or Milan. And the families that are in lesser standing have to go to, you know, non-fancy place. I'm trying to say it in a way that doesn't sound totally condescending to Colombia, because I know Bogota is supposed to be actually a really amazing city. But like, I can imagine in the eyes of like the Mormon church, like Colombia is like the lesser compared to like south of France. So someone sent that message us. I don't know if that theory holds or not, but it's a fun theory to think about.
Yeah, it is. Maybe they got dissed because of tequila and all that good stuff, or wearing evening dresses to church. Jesus Christ.
Not wearing her little bolero jacket that Heather Gay had to wear to a wedding once to cover her shoulders.
So Heather's like, wow, congratulations, Jack. Felicidades. And he's like, sí. And Lisa goes, yeah, she speaks French, you see? Which is funny because that was Spanish. It's like, she served her mission. And I already said all this. Okay. And so he's like, okay, bye. So Lisa's like, okay, listen, though, Heather, it's not excluding you. It's respecting you. And Heather's like, you know, it's just like the problem I have is with the Mormon stuff. It's not Jack. It's not his brunch. She's like, oh, so you have a problem with the way I live Mormonism, right? She goes, well, so you're not Mormon, but you get to wear the title of being Mormon. Come on.
But I am Mormon. I'm like super into like whoever the guy was who like started it. And Heather's like, you're the least Mormon person on the planet. She's like, no, I'm not. That's crazy. Ha-ha. Like, I love the Lord and the various Mormon things that happen in our church, which I don't even have to explain what they are because I know them so well, right? Yeah, love the Lord.
Heather's like, yeah, you know, I just, that just seems unfair. You know, they kick me out, but they don't kick you out. I mean, look at you. But I'm so Mormon. And listen, I'm kind of with Lisa on this, just because if you give 10% of your money to anybody, you're part of that organization. I'm sorry. I know that you may not follow all the rules, but 10%'s a lot.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, there are different, I don't know the deal with Mormonism, but I know in other religions, there are different sects.
Not the same as spirituality, but to Lisa Barlow, it is.
I am 100% Mormon. I know everything about Mormonism. We all know the church, Jesus Christ and the church of Latter-day Salmon. So I'm very up on this religion.
I'm so excited. I love that time of the year where we get to light 12 candles and wear little round hats on the back of our heads.
My favorite part about Mormonism is Mormon Christmas happens at the summer solstice in Sweden.
I love when Brigham Young would go out fishermanning and then make everybody like multiply fish sandwiches. That was amazing.
I'm so excited for Jack's Mormon mitzvah.
So then we go to John and Lisa, and they're in their bedroom talking about their new bedding coming. And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm still like decompressing from this ridiculous weekend. You know what? And he says, what happened with Monica? And she's like, well, yeah, all of a sudden you appeared. And then, I mean, she just goes crazy. She's crazy. It's like weird. Monica seems miserable and shabby. And like when I'm around her, like she equates her mother to Ted Bundy, but then she equated me to her mother. So like, she's like impossible to talk to without murdering and possibly eating her body parts.
Yeah. And then when I was leaving, I saw Angie, and like Angie was having like a full conversation with Monica, and like Angie's like not being honest with me about her relationship with Monica. And if they're fine, that's great, but like don't tell me you're not fine, okay? Like it's one thing to be called a serial killer, but it's another to be like friends with someone who's called me a serial killer.
So then we see a clip of 3 days earlier with Lisa and Angie having lunch. And Lisa's like, I just don't get it. Like with Monica, why does anything have to do with your mother? Like apologize for your behavior. Her behavior was repulsive. And Angie's like, Aunt Lisa, I agree with you. And so when we cut back and she's like, yeah, she doesn't make any sense. So then John's like, yeah, well, here's what I think. Bloop. Lisa just immediately goes to her phone and starts texting. It's like when Andy goes on a break on Housewives and they're like, we'll be right back. And then he just scrunches down in his chair and starts texting. Nothing that happens around him will get him to look up from that. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. And like John's trying to weigh in. He's like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess good luck with that. And if you need to bounce any ideas off me about how to like talk to Angie or like Monica, hey.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm gonna go out. I'm gonna let the dog out. I'm gonna go out.
Yeah, I don't hear you.
I'm gonna go.
Who are you? I'm alone. I live alone. Love you. That was the most awkward scene, and you can tell it just happens all the time. Or she's like, and then this happened, John. Well, here's my husbandly advice. Not listening. Da, 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 da.
I said
Why
my
are you
part
right now.
I said my part already. Can't believe you call me Ted Bundy. Like, do I work in a shoe shop? It's like, that's Al Bundy. Oh,
Just the zero awareness of it all is so funny.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Today, hip-hop dominates pop culture, but it wasn't always like that. And to tell the story of how that changed, I want to take you back to a very special year in rap.
88, it was too much good music. The world was on fire.
Fire, yeah. I'm Will Smith. This is Class of 88, my new podcast about the moments, albums, and artists that inspired a sonic revolution and secured 1988 as one of hip-hop's most important years. We'll talk to the people who were there. And most of all, we'll bring you some amazing stories.
You know what my biggest memory from that tour is? It was your birthday.
Yes, and you brought me the Sade life-size cardboard cutout.
This is Class of 88, the story of a year that changed hip-hop.
Listen to Class of 88 wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge the entire series right now on the Amazon Music app or Audible.
So then we go to Heather's house, and it's prom day for Georgia, and they're talking about her date, how she has a date, and Heather's saying that she didn't think that Georgia was even going to get to go to prom because Mormons only go with other Mormons. But then Adi came into the picture, and his family is from Bosnia, and so they don't give a crap about Mormonism.
Yeah.
And she's going to hopefully make out with this kid tonight.
Yeah. Because this is Georgia's first boyfriend without the restraints of purity culture. I'm like, you're still in America. It's a pretty big purity culture around here. And that was a criticism, by the way, of America. That was not a criticism of Heather Gay. But anyway, Heather likes Adi and everything. And she talks about how when I was her age, I had a boyfriend and it took us 9 months before we kissed lying down. And the next day he called me and said, we can never do that again. Anyway, I married him.
So then we go over to Whitney's prison pop-up shop. What episode was that where we went over Whitney's jewelry? It was so fun. I think it was the first one of the season, remember. Wasn't it?
I don't remember Whitney's jewelry.
We looked up, I think we went to her, the first one. We went to her wedding, not her wedding, her jewelry website. That was a fun episode.
That must have been the first
one. If anybody
one.
Hasn't done it, do it. It's fun.
Yeah. So okay. It's a place called Varley. And Whitney's having, it's my pop-up shop. And she's there. And Lisa shows up. She's like, thanks, Jennifer. She walks in. She's, hey, Jennifer. Thanks, Jennifer. I'm like, she's like, my name is Constance. Whatever, Jennifer. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. It looks so beautiful here. Where are the tiki torches we painted?
So they're like, who'd you invite? And Heather's not coming. And then is so-and-so coming? She's like, no. Is Meredith coming? No. Is Heather coming? No. And then we see Georgia's date come pick her up for the prom.
Bangs.
And
feathered bangs. Yes. More bangs. More teenage more boy bangs.
Hair. More modern boy hair pushed all the way forward. It's embarrassing. It's terrible. Bless her it's
terrible.
Hearts.
Terrible. So
but it's kind of cute that they all support each other in that bad decision, right?
Yeah.
If there's enough people doing one wrong thing, it makes it right.
Yeah. No, it's bad. So, no one's coming. And then Lisa's like, is Meredith coming? And then we see Meredith at her own store and she's just talking to someone. Well, this is the monogram clutch. And like, it's supposed to be somewhere abstract. I don't know. I really don't care. I just need to have an excuse not to go to Whitney's crappy jewelry event. So you can do whatever you want with this monogram piece of shit.
It's supposed to be abstract and not exactly my logo.
So she pulls out the little logo and it's exactly her logo. I was like, what are you going to put it like? Tilted? It's your logo. Okay. So then we go back and Whitney tells us, Prism is a very much full circle moment of my own spiritual religion because each piece is designed with a specific intention in mind, and we're going to create an energy that inspires people to connect with their jewelry. And also, I'm tired. What was I saying?
I've always been into crystals and healing crystals and crystal light, crystal gale, crystal on Beverly Hills, and all that stuff. So it's full circle for me because I suddenly like this stuff and now I'm doing something with this stuff.
So people come in and there's this random lady named Shari who's there. And I don't know who Sherry is, but it says Sherry, Whitney's friend. And Sherry is like, Sherry's like, I'm on a roller coaster, but I'm okay right now. I was like, what happened with Sherry? And we never see her again. I'm like, wait. Why did we like stop everything to find out that Sherry's on a roller coaster? This strange lady who's like, oh my God, Whitney, it's been a drama, but we're okay right now.
Yeah, they acted like they were introducing a new friend of her or something, but yeah. That was all we got of her. So who knows? So Justin shows up to this thing and there's a big line of people to get in, and Lisa and Angie are talking, and Lisa's like, how did you feel after last night? Well, it was a kid's birthday party, so that's how I felt. Well, I laughed, and last night I was like so irritated because I'm like, oh, you know what? That's what it was like. It was like this. Yeah, it was like, I was done. I was like,
also, by the way, Angie has arrived because she's wearing Tamara's blue Terry Mugler dress. I just want to point out.
So yeah, it's like everyone needs to stop with
this figure skater couture. It's done.
Yeah.
So Angie's like, it's hard, Lisa, because after you left the conversation, it continued with Monica. And this is where she's putting it out to everyone else. And you know what? Like, you don't want to believe it, that it's this. She just keeps on saying like, oh, Lisa doesn't want to believe that I'm in an abusive situation. And that's what she's telling everyone. Lisa, I'm Greek.
And Lisa's like, well, I don't know what relationship she's in, but I just saw for 2 hours at your house on Easter. Wait, people were at my house on Easter? Yeah. Do you mean Greek Easter? Opa. Okay, fine. Greek Easter.
So that Angie's like, well, let me talk for a second, Angie. Let me talk for a second. Angie like basically said like half a syllable. Let me talk. Okay, what I saw at your house was someone treating her mother poorly. And like I made a judgment call and I would never treat my mother like that. And what's her problem with me? Like she has an issue with me. Let me finish. I know you're not saying anything. Let me finish. Let me finish. Be quiet. Okay, she had an issue with me. Okay, your turn. Let me finish. Okay, your turn. Well, It's my turn. Okay, your turn.
I don't know because, you know, all I know is what she told me. All we can go off is her word.
And I'm okay, going off well, her
you know
actions.
What? I'm
going
to go. Yeah, I'm going to go off her actions.
My turn, so other Monica. Me. My turn, other me. Let me finish, other me.
No, let me finish.
Let me finish.
Let me finish.
Let me finish.
You stop talking.
You stop. Wait. You talk.
Bridget.
Let me talk. Other me.
I love that.
So
Monica enters the store and the music's like, dun, dun, dun. We go to commercial. So when we come back, Angie's like, I didn't like where she went with you last night. Look, I had your back. I'm telling you, Lisa, I promise you I had your back. And Lisa's like, you know what? I need a drink. Like, this is boring. This is boring. That's what Lisa does when she's triggered. She just calls everything boring. And when Monica is triggered, she calls everybody old. And spoiler alert, that's the next 20 minutes of this show.
Yes. Oh, and when Angie's triggered, she just calls everything, I'm Greek. So
and when Bobby's triggered, she just starts snorting Dr. Pepper up her nostrils.
So there's hugs and chatter and smiling. And then Angie's like, last night, Monica, I left overwhelmed. I'm feeling like I'm between you and Lisa right now, Monica. And Monica's like,
that's like on Lisa because like Lisa's putting you in the middle, girl. And I'm like not talking shit on Lisa to you. Like you guys are the ones who bring it up, girl.
But you went low on her again last night. She's like,
yeah, but you guys are the ones coming at me. Like I've been here five minutes, and you guys are coming up to me like Lisa,
which is true.
Yes,
you know they are all like trying to stir the pot, and then they're like, Monica, why are you saying so many things about Lisa? Because you keep tattletaling on Lisa and then asking her opinion on it.
I just walked away from it. And Monica's like,
but do you see what I'm saying? Like, I don't bring it up. Like, you bring it up. Like, it's always brought to me.
So then Lisa goes up to Whitney and she goes, hey, I know you have a lot going on, but like Angie came up to me and said some crazy stuff. Do you want to hear about it? And Whitney's like,
I need to give a speech right now.
So Lisa's so mad.
Yeah, so, she's pissed off. And Whitney's like, burb. What does that even mean?
Be right back.
So she gets up and goes, and Lisa's all pissed. And she's doing that thing where she's like pulling both sides of her hair, which I love. And then she's like trying to readjust in the booth. She's about to lose her damn mind. And she doesn't have anyone here who's on her team.
And the store is so small that there's nowhere for her to escape to. So Whitney's like, they're like, stand on the speaker, Whitney. How do I stand on myself? No, I know, but it's like a different kind of speaker. But I'm the speaker right now. Do I stand on my head? Am I doing a somersault? No, Whitney, stand on this thing. But is that thing the speaker? What's the speaker? Wait, can we start from the top? Hold on.
Hold on, this big box, but it's not saying anything.
Wait, is this box also launching a jewelry thing here?
So they lift her up. Okay, so to give her speech, they put her up on a platform right next to her step and repeat, but not in front of her step and repeat that yeah. has her logo that she's supposed to be promoting right now. Dum dum. So she starts giving a little speech. She's like,
hi, everybody. Did you ever wish you could wear your spirit on your ear? I did.
Crystals, am I right?
So then Lisa grabs Angie's hand to be like, come on, we're going to go listen to the speech over here. But then Angie's like, come on, Monica. Come on with us. So then.
No. She's pulling you away. Just go with her.
So we've got Angie in between Lisa and Monica. And they're both trying to like have Angie on their side. And it's so fucking funny.
No, you just go with her then.
And he's like, shut the fuck up, Monica. Come on, Angie.
No, you're like so bothered by me. And I love it. I love it. Stay bothered, bitch.
I'm in the middle of a sandwich here. More specifically, I'm in the middle of a hero sandwich right now.
And so they stand on either side of her, and Monica's like, oh, look at her getting hot. I'm not interested. You bore me.
Then walk away. Walk away. She's pulling you then.
Yeah, but someone needs attention. Look right at her. Look right at her, everybody.
Go ahead. Walk away.
We're for Whitney, so don't even.
Yeah. And then if you ever feel like the spirit isn't moving through you in your heart, maybe it could move through you in a piercing. Right at the top of your ear. It only hurts at first.
And Monica is still yelling at Lisa.
You're not my mother. I don't need to listen to you.
Okay, let's let Whitney feel like we are all here. And Lisa's like, no one wants to be your mother, clearly. So then Monica's like,
Jesus. Good Lord. So we have a whole mother abuse storyline, and Lisa's like, clearly no one wants to be your mother. Oh my God. Just terrible, terrible moves by Lisa this entire episode.
That's a bad episode for Lisa. So Monica's like, wow, you're pretty. She tells us, you're pretty fucking disgusting to talk about my own plant talking to mother and how she doesn't want me. And I'm absolutely at my tipping point right now. So then Whitney's still talking.
Hi, all you beautiful people. Thank you so much. Being here. Today.
Today, we're making earrings that are built with spirit. They're $5,000. You can't see them, but it's because you can't see spirit.
So then, things have sort of settled down with Monica and Lisa, it seems like, for a second. And Monica's looking at Whitney, and she's like, well, she has the best legs. And Angie's like, all of them. And then Lisa's like, don't be fake as fuck. She's like mad at Angie for like having like a pleasant response to Monica's, you know, compliment.
I was just talking about how beautiful Whitney is, Lisa.
I'm not talking to you.
I stay on your tongue, though. I stay on your tongue.
And she's like, Monica, is this little vampire that's fueled by like 100% off negative energy? Like, give me a problem and I'll feed off of that. She's like, fucking horrible.
Well, Prism came into my life with these ladies. Chantal is the designer. She's a gemologist. And Amber Lee is a spiritualist and a chakra girl. We'll trust her with our chakras, but not with the little piercing parts that go into your ears. She tried to use paper clips. Stupid chakra girl.
Monica's like, maybe that's like what we need. Angie's like, yeah, I think we need more of this chakra shit. And so then Lisa walks away. She's like, ah. So she walks away all mad at Angie. She's like, don't touch me, Angie. Angie's like, Lisa. And Lisa's like, don't touch me. I don't need any of this. Because I guess Angie reaches out to touch Lisa to be like, don't leave. So now Lisa's mad at Angie.
Yeah. So Angie's like, Lisa, come on. She's like, I don't need this. Well, don't leave, Lisa. Don't let her get to you. She's like, I'm not interested in talking to her. You know, if that's what you're going to talk to, you know what? I can't back you up on that, Angie. And Whitney's like,
hey, cheers to a sound bath and pull your credit cards after. Nothing is more spiritual than a credit card.
So Monica then checks in with Angie. She's like, are you okay, girl? And Angie's like, no, I'm not, you guys. Like, I'm not okay, you guys. And Lisa's like, why? Why aren't you okay? She's like, I can't be in the middle of whatever you guys. And Lisa's like, You're not in the middle of anything. All I said was, if you're going to talk to Monica, you can't talk to me. You're not in the middle of anything.
Well, you're both going low with each other. What did I say that was low? I did not jab her one time. Monica's like, you did. I'm up and so I'm fine.
So Whitney's like, enjoy the sound bath. Dong. Dong. Chantal's like, Whitney, we have a bowl for that.
Oh, hold on. Give me the bowl. Dong. Dong.
No, we rub the bowl. Whitney.
I resent the fact that you're having a bath when you've gone out of your way to talk about how dirty my tub is in newspaper and the press and causing nastiness and rumors. So if you will, people, please ignore Whitney on this event because it is built on lies.
Listen, I said based on my assessment, you don't treat your mother well. You do not treat your mother well, Monica. Oh yeah? Well, you don't know about the situation, Lisa.
Based on what I saw, you weren't nice to your mother.
Based on what I see, you're like, you like your minions and you're threatened by people wanting to talk to them.
You don't know me.
Stop putting Angie in the middle.
She's not in the middle. You guys, no. Guys, I'm not in the middle. I can pull myself out. I am like a baklava coming out of the oven. I am being pulled out by myself right now. Oh.
It is hard, but I am staying in the middle. I have not felt the lighting on my face for this long, the entire season. Oh, yeah. Well, you talked about her marriage, and I said it's not that deep, Monica. You know what? Stop trying to make it deep, Monica.
Lisa Barlow.
Shh. Monica's like,
Lisa?
Listen, I want to enjoy the sound bowl, okay? Excuse me, I want to listen to the sound bowl.
Yeah, old people need sound bowls.
Okay, Monica, Jesus Christ. This is going to resort to old people on everything.
She's running
thing.
Out of material
there. You're going to be
there. Old. So Angie's like, okay, Monica, that's fucking low because I'm actually older than Lisa. Lisa's like, yeah, Monica, okay, she's older than me. And so is Meredith and so is Heather. I just want to point out that actually like everyone's like older than me. I'm kind of like a young girl in this cast. Sort of like young hot mom, you know what I'm saying? Ah!
Yeah, but you wear it old. Well, I like to be natural. I don't look like the Pillsbury Doughboy with all these injections and stuff in my face. Sorry. And Monica goes, oh, are you saying that about Angie? You're saying that about your friend?
which is kind of funny.
It is, right. And Angie's like, no, I think you're gorgeous, Lisa. I think you're gorgeous. And I think you're jealous, Monica. And by the way, I think you're pretty and I'm pretty gorgeous. You see what I did there? Little wordplay in the middle to lighten things up. Anyone? And Lisa's like, control yourself, Monica. Control yourself.
Should I tell them to leave? I'm so pissed right now. Where's Meredith Marks when you need her?
Cut to Meredith's every week. Every week quote.
You can leave.
Do not come for my sound bath.
You're so triggered by your circumstances. Keep my name out of your mouth. I'm not interested. Please stop talking to me. Listen, I'm texting back to this entire conversation. Stop. I'm replying stop.
Yeah, and Lisa screams this part. So then Monica's like, you don't get to tell me what to do. Please stop talking to me. Lisa, please stop talking to me. Please stop talking to me. So then Lisa's like, tells us, what the hell is happening? Like abusing the sample? Like maybe you'd be in better mood if you didn't have to pay for drinks.
What does that mean?
Are I think she's like poor shaming her. Like she had to pay. Like she had to, like she's so poor. Like she's in a bad mood that she has to pay for something.
Her Dr. Pepper. The Dr. Pepper broker. So Lisa's like, I have no interest in you. And Monica's like, stop talking about me. It's that simple.
And just like, guys, I'm loving this like little moment with a sound bath. And Lisa's like, listen, I took your side. Like that's as far as it goes. Okay. It's like not that deep. If somebody else needs more action in their life, they can keep clinging to it, but that's not that deep for me. I guess she's trying to say, I may have misspoken, but so she's basically saying like, look, all I was saying was I took your mom's side and it's like, not that deep, like no big deal. Like stop making a scene.
And so Monica tries this one next for her most likely pre-written line. She's like, Lisa, you're like a little tramp stamp. You beg for attention everywhere you go, but you're bottom of the barrel. I was like,
okay, if you want to start doing weird comebacks, here's mine. We were dealt the same deck of cards, and like, you play with twos, I play with face cards.
They really need, listen, Salt Lake City, we've always said this is the lowest budget community theater version, but you guys really need to get some gays, okay?
You need to start playing with some queens. That's what you need to start playing with in your deck of cards.
We need some queen cards in here. So Monique's like, Monica is like,
you do realize there are several...
First, because... She goes, listen, that was such a lame comeback. And Lisa goes, oh, yeah, well, if this is mediocre, this is what mediocre looks like. I'm so happy to be mediocre. Like, she clearly doesn't get out much, and she doesn't know how to behave. And Monica's like, you do realize there are several forms of intellectual capabilities in the brain, and street smarts is actually the number one, and you don't have that. And the fact that I do makes you crazy. You just got your car repossessed. So, no, you don't.
You just said Lisa was like a tramp stamp. Also, where was this official ranking of intellectual capabilities? Well, this just in, the number one intellectual capability for 2023, street smarts. Congratulations, street smarts.
You topped the charts. Where is that even coming from? Like, where does it come from? So Monica tells her that, and Lisa laughs, and I laugh because I don't even know what they're talking about now. I feel like every line they say, I'm like, huh? I think, guys, just cut the camera, okay? So, God, the fucking leaf blower, do you hear him? They're torturing.
I don't hear it.
What's going on? How are they here again? Weren't they already here?
I'm bored, leaf blower. I'm bored with you, leaf blower. So Monica's...
Apparently the fucking leaf blower is bored with me. I feel like he came back here just to torture me. You were here an hour ago. Go away.
You can't leave. So then Monica's basically like, yeah, she says like, I've got street smarts. And like, that challenges you. And you hate it, bitch. Monica, please don't go there with the bitch thing. And so then Lisa's like, I'm bored with you.
Can stop talking about me.
And like, and then Lisa's like, listen, I don't ever want to fucking talk about you again. Stop talking to me.
And so she gets in her face, right? She's like now at the top of Lisa level piss. So she's in her face and she like puts her hand on her shoulder. And then Monica's like, you can't put your hands on people. She's like, stop talking to me.
You can't control me, all right?
She's like, calm down. I am calm. Why do you keep saying that? And then we see Monica getting, now that she's getting what she wants out of Lisa, Monica is calm. Like she starts coming like right does that back thing. Down. Yes. So Angie's like, okay, it's okay. Hey, you guys don't like each other. And Lisa's like, why do you keep saying that? She's like, just don't let her set you up here. And Lisa's like, you started this whole thing with Sean, and I took your side, and that's that. That's it. And the way you treat your mother is disgusting.
And Monica's like, she's like,
well, you should hear how your mother treats me.
how your mother treats me, Lisa. How my mother, maybe that's what she said, how my mother treats me. And Lisa's like, you do the same thing. It's called abuse. You abuse people.
Lisa, do you hear yourself? Do you hear yourself?
I don't hear her. I don't assess her.
Yes, you do.
What? Well, whatever.
Well, whatever. Like, you made several snarky comments, so let's not deny that, Lisa.
And Angie's like, but you do too, Monica. You do too. She goes, but I found it. And Lisa's like, Angie, stay out of it.
She's like, shut up, Angie.
And so Angie goes, okay. And Monica's like, don't say okay. She's her own person. Don't let her be. Don't tell her to be quiet. And Angie's like, I can't fix this. And Lisa says, there's nothing to fix. Monica, you treat your mother like shit. And I say what I see. I mean, it's not that deep, Monica.
She's like, okay, then stop talking about me.
I'm not talking about you. I gave my opinion. My opinion is exactly what I told you. And just in advance, shut up, Angie. Stay out of it.
So Monica's like, but do you understand? She goes, I don't understand that.
Well, you get your hands out of people's faces, maybe.
She goes, you were doing that to me. You were doing this to me. So I did that to you. And then they start doing hand dancing.
Monica did this with her hand. I rewound it. I was like, let's play back the tape. Monica did this with her hand in Lisa's face. Then Lisa did it back as like making fun of her. And then Monica's like, keep your hand out of my face. Like, well, Monica, you did start that one. And then Lisa goes, but I'm a close talker. So Angie's like, okay, separate. Okay, Moussaka to the left, Pastillo to the right. Okay, separate.
You guys need to be like lemon juice and olive oil and separate. So Whitney's like, could you guys go over there? Because you're fighting in the way of our checkout.
And there's a long line of people who want to buy my jewelry, right?
And Monica's like, I actually like fighting in this environment. Like, I fought in grocery stores, parking lots. This is a very classy place to fight in. And Lisa follows Whitney around. She goes, oh my God, she's so hard to have a conversation with Whitney. I mean, it's like impossible.
And Angie's like, I don't know what to say right now. Actually, I don't know if I'm allowed to say something right now. Can I talk right now? And Monica's like,
do you see how she says, like, shut the fuck up and be quiet? She always wants her minions. Talk up against her. Talk up against her. She always wants minions. Am I right, Angie? Angie, say something.
But she just doesn't like me to speak on her behalf.
You were given your opinion and she told you to shut the fuck up.
And for the second time today, they showed the clip of Lisa saying, Angie, don't worry about that for 1 second. And Angie going, okay. But Monica going, don't say that.
Monica is trying to actively turn Angie against Lisa.
She's a twister.
While she's also accusing Lisa of someone who loves having minions, while Monica is actively trying to recruit one.
Yep. Well, hey, listen, if you see a pawn, you got to fight for the pawn.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't really know how chess works, to be honest. It was a good musical, though. Very underrated musical. Mm.
So Lisa's like, she's impossible to talk to. I mean, you know what? Because it's like your mama jokes, right? It's like, you're a piece of shit. You're so ugly. You look 50. You're like this. I'm like, that is not a your mama joke. And I don't know what you're going on with this path here, but it makes no sense.
I get what she's saying because you argue with Monica. It's like, I don't think you were nice to your mother. You're old. Okay. Like she's saying it's a your mama joke. It's just like really immature and she resorts to just being a child instead of having a fight, you know?
Right. Maybe she's saying she's resorting to trying to have trying to diss you. Right. Like she's trying to diss you or something like that instead of just
right. She just goes low instead of having an actual conversation. It's like, here's my point.
Oh yeah, but you're old and ugly.
It's kind of like a Jen Shaw style fighting style, you know?
Yeah.
Like this is like the new Jen, except, you know, way more palatable, I say. So Whitney's like, I am so irritated. Can Lisa just table Lisa for one moment? We have a backup in the line, guys. We have to move. And Lisa's like, you know what? This is what I don't like. The fakery.
Yeah. So then Monica tells Angie,
you know what? I love you. You look beautiful. And like, I appreciate you today. And like, I gotta go to my kids.
And Lisa's like, look at this. Look at them. Look, Monica and Angie, they're like hugging it out. And like, this is weird for me. Like, I honestly think this is like so weird. Like, you talked about our marriage and like, I'm the bad guy because I'm defending Angie.
Yeah. Bye. I'm leaving. I can't take the fakery. Goodbye. And Whitney's like,
wow, this
this isn't good vibes. Are you leaving? She's like, this is bullshit.
That's how it is. Pretty intense. This fight lasted like 10 minutes of airtime. It went on for a long time, in case you couldn't tell from our reenactment.
40 minutes of crapping stuff. Yeah,
it was hilarious, but it was also very long. I was like, wow, they are really going at it, huh?
They are, but they kept going at it without being able to find new things to say to each other. So yeah. They just kind of kept repeating the same things over and over again. But you know what? I have to say, I was still riveted.
It was great. Like, wow. It was hilarious.
I mean, enough to redo it all. We could have just been like, okay, this fight was this and this said over and over.
It was. It was pretty much the same two sentences repeated back and back over and over and over again. So much fun. Yeah, thanks everyone for being here. We appreciate you. And we will catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Cotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.